It's 7 o'clock, so I'm going to open the Catuit Fire District Policy Advisory Committee meeting on March 19th, 2019. Could we have roll call starting on my left?
Don Campbell, Water Commissioner.
Adam Zase, Fire Commissioner.
Fran Parks, Prudential.
Amy, Member of the Public.
Okay, thank you.
Amy Cates.
So at our last meeting, we decided to look at the Water Department lien policy for overdue bills and to see if there are any other suggestions we can make to deal with that, or especially in light of the upcoming change in water rates and billing going to 4 times a year. So it's presently the policy of the department, Don will correct me if I'm wrong, not to shut off water. They do send out demand notices.
They make a phone call and they send out 2 demand notices.
Okay. And there is a 10% interest charge, but that can occur, like, if the first bill isn't paid, the $36?
That's just one time.
Right.
Just a one-time thing. I think whenever, if there's a, whatever's late.
So if they don't pay the $36, it'll 10%. Go on that,
yeah.
The 10% on that, so and they can continue to, rack up non-payments. So the, so whatever any...
One of the questions that came up last time was, how many people are sort of in arrears?
Well, it varies from month to month.
Yeah.
I mean, Fran has put together this thing right here that shows a number of 30 to 60, 60 to 90, over 90 days. And let's see, this first one starts out with a zero balance, and after 30 days, at a $35 balance. After 60 days, it was zero, and over 90 days, now it's $356. So, no, that's what's been paid, I guess.
No, that's...
And the first one, account 0013?
Yep.
There's no minus there, so I don't know.
Yeah. So, like...
Well, it looks as though that there's a bill that's, like, between a month and 2 months overdue, and then over 3 months is a whole bunch.
Yeah, right.
That's the way I would read that.
No, I brought it.
Oh,
you can have this.
That's okay. I mean, I was just wondering, is it what the general order of magnitude is? Is it like hundreds of people? And I hope my name's not on.
Well, I don't know. I cannot tell you what it is during the course of the year. I know when it comes time to liens,
so
for the liens to actually
days.
Go out at the end of the year, it's because of some rigorous phone calls and attempts to reach people.
Yeah.
I think it was down to like 13 people.
I believe it started at over 80
yeah.
to 100.
Yeah. But it got knocked down quite a bit.
So is that a current outstanding
yeah.
like accounts receivable, so to speak?
Yeah, over 90 days.
At $49,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
And in your experience, that'll come down because of all the work that you guys do to try to collect?
It does come down because I don't know where these people are away, whether they're here, or what the issue is as far as stuff like that. We have to look at each account and see if it's a reoccurring thing. But when it gets down to get to the real part, that's the lien thing. Let me see if I got the right thing here. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 18 on this list right here. One person has died. A couple properties were sold, and in the process of going through that, and then let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 of these 18 were paid to debt 5. The one's disputed. We have a reoccurring issue on Roosevelt with water quality that's she's not paying until she's satisfied with the thing. We've been working on it for a long time, and I don't know if there'll ever be a satisfaction, but she has actually gone to lien. And this, I forget the exact total this is, but it ends up being, 18 accounts, $3,711 total, minus the ones that have been paid.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that, and I believe the figure that she gave me was under 0.6% of the total yearly bill, yearly money coming in. What I'm gathering here is that it's the timeliness of the money. Not only the waiting to lien time, but it's the timeliness to keep a money flow going. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think with the new rates going up, and I think this is probably going to become a bigger problem. I certainly don't think it's going to stay that size or get smaller. And so I think, it could build up over the next couple of years.
Did we ever determine what the legalities are about shutting water off?
Well, the water department's allowed to shut water off.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
For non-payment. And they're also, if someone is renting, and the landlord, like I believe there is one case of a sober house that's a problem, at least that's what Chris told me. If every humanly possible method has been made to contact the landlord and they still don't pay, then you can, inform the people renting the house that they either can pay the water bill or the water will be turned off.
This is the first I saw it tonight, so I'm...
That's from the beginning of the year till the end, till February 20th.
Oh, okay, so all of 2018, so it says 2020, okay, got it.
Yeah, it's FY19.
So I think what I heard was, okay, it's a big number, but the ones that seem to be problematic is a smaller number of both people and dollars, and that, generally speaking, if I understand correctly, all that's going to be collected, minus the...
It eventually gets there.
Yeah.
Because for the people that play the game, they don't pay the water bill, it goes to lien, goes on the taxes, and then they can deduct it. Well, that deduction part's going away.
Yeah. I mean...
There's no longer going to be a deduction on
the taxes. My taxes are really simple this year. There's nothing to deduct.
So I don't know how, we will see how it goes this year, whether there's no advantage to have it go to lien. Other than just someone being stubborn and wanting to do it.
And when are you announcing new rates?
We're going to have a meet. We're going to have another meeting.
When are you going to ask me present them?
We're going to have, a couple presentations, at least one through the Civic Association. We're having there's a number of people coming tomorrow night to our meeting, based on the stuff that we sent out. We've gotten some communication from them where they have questions that we've got answers for, and we're going to see how that goes. If we're going to do it this year, we got to do it this year. Going halfway through the year just makes it even more confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, right. I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible, have a starting point. But so anyways, there was one thing I read in the minutes about the possibility of turning water off. Okay. There was a communication with Centerville, because that was Centerville's using the example. And the superintendent over there does not like the policy, which is didn't have to do it for the commissioners, because they have to hire a police detail to go with the guys that turn the water off. And they have to have a police detail in the office to deal with the irate customers that come because the water's turned off. Those guys get paid whatever the detail rate is, a minimum of 4 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to mention the stress that they have to be put under. It doesn't, Chris is not in favor of this. He would not want to have to go out there and get in that kind of situation with the people that we're working for.
Do all houses have external shutoffs?
If they have a water service from us, there is an outside,
I wonder where it is on my property.
Is it the street?
I have no idea.
Is it the street, right?
It should be at, there's a, wherever there's a connection to the water main, you come in, there should be a, some sort of valve.
I know,
inside.
I on my property, I have no idea where it is.
My shut-off is in my basement.
Yeah.
I got shut-offs in the basement, too.
Yeah, but that's you can't do that.
If you go into, I'd have a hard time. I can't even go, as a firefighter, I do inspections. I could not go into anyone's house unless there was an emergency. They'd have to invite me in.
Right.
There's an emergency, we go.
Yeah.
But they don't have to let me in.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm not, I was just asking questions.
Yeah,
I was not.
Is that right, that some municipalities have police details?
This is the first I heard of police details for doing this. Because we never really looked beyond what we've been doing for a long time.
It's a lot simpler to turn off the electricity or cable.
Right.
Because that's like software.
The gas is probably external.
Yeah. One of the things that that me and Fran would talk about when we first got here is this looking for a solution that's not really a problem, a bad problem yet. Which doesn't mean that if this becomes something that is untenable, that it couldn't be a solution in the future.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys tell, if you're reporting that generally speaking, you know, most of that money's going to get collected. It's hard. People are recalcitrant, whatever. You know, they're obstinate. But, you know, when you look at $3,700, no, it's not nothing. I get it. But it's 10%. It's less than 10% of the outstanding stuff. So you collect a lot of it. I don't know. From a policy standpoint, I don't think you would say, hey, Don, you guys come up with
I think what I would like to do is see
turn
if
water off.
See if Jen could come up with some sort of information about how long does it take for someone. Do summer people wait till they come back, or do we have people that always are out? What kind of money? Because every month we have on our reports how much money came in, and. I just don't know how. It's not going like this. If we go to four bills a month and people are putting it off for a long time, it's going to affect the district. I'm correct. That's what you're saying to me.
Yeah.
So this is not a I want every cent right now thing. We just got to keep the money flowing. Our reason for going four times a year is to try to keep a cash flow going, more consistent throughout the year. But if they don't pay the bill, it's not getting the job done.
Right. I mean, I know, I think I get one that's like for $30, and then I get one for the $200, round figures. And I could see someone putting off the $200, paying the $30, or slow paying.
Yeah.
Ignoring both, but whatever. But if it's, are you going to sort of level the
no.
You can't do that.
What we're projecting for the bills is that the base rate will be split in half and will be paid with the first and third bill.
Okay.
And that the overage will be paid with the second and the fourth bill.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So the predictable ones will be 1 and 3. Depending on your usage, 2 and 4 can be a surprise.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if we could do much better.
On this list, it's mainly small numbers. There's 10 people that are over 1,000, and there's one person that's 2,700. So the majority of people, 3, 4, 5, smaller numbers. But 2,700, that would obviously, that is probably a high water user. But what would that represent?
Or someone who's just never paid for a
long
time.
That could be true. But how many, what would that represent? Would that represent 3 years, 4 years?
Well, I think that if it goes to lien, it comes off that list, correct? It comes off your, when it goes into the lien process, it comes off your accounts receivable.
I don't know. They have to ask Jen. Again, this is... Yeah. I don't want to say yes and not be right.
Yeah, that's 2,700. That's, we've got a bunch low, couple thousand, bunch at the 1,500. But this 27, and it's over 9 days. It's 2,700. and it's over 90 days.
Okay, I'm going to read something here from Chris. According to the superintendent, it's been the policy of the Kootenai Water Department not to turn off past due residents as their potential for liability to the district should plumbing be damaged, freeze ups, the house may have to, may have very young or elderly residents, or that there may be other extenuating circumstances for which they have not been made aware. So our policy is this: bills are issued after 60 days, a one-time 10% penalty is assessed, and the penalty bills are sent. If a bill remains unpaid for 365 days, attempts will be to collect via phone or in person are unsuccessful, and notice, demand notice is sent by a certified mail following the June and July commissioners' meeting. So they go out twice a year. Board of Water Commissioners reviews the lien list, approves the recipients, as they may be a resident on the list that requires special consideration. If after two demand attempts the bill remains unpaid, it's submitted to the town tax collector for the balance due plus penalties to be collected with the real estate taxes and remitted back to the district. So that's the policy we have now. We have 2,300 accounts on record. Last year there were approximately 80 residents past due. That's where the 80 came from. After notifications by phone and demand notice were sent out, there were 18 accounts that were not current and were sent to the town for collection. The total amount of the warrant was $3,711.71. This amount will be paid, will be added to the residents' October tax bill for collection.
So I would suggest, instead of waiting till June or July to send demand notices out, to do it sooner in the year.
Well, if we're collecting four times a year, we can send them out four times a year. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. There's going to be a learning curve with this change anyways. So I think, I know what Ray said, and I think you've backed it up. The first year of the implementation of the rate change, the taxes will not reflect any change in the water rates until a year has gone by, so they know what the money has to be taken off, so they know what is left to do the tax rate. So the first year, the money should be okay. Does that make sense?
Theoretically, you know.
Well, I mean, if we're looking to recover almost all of the expenses of the water department through rate as compared to what we are right now, and the taxes remain the same to pay for what we used to have the taxes pay for in the water department, the first year should be okay.
But I think in terms of that, it should be okay, but
yeah.
I think, what you have coming in is gonna be the variable, you know.
That's where we think we're gonna learn how it's gonna come in,
yeah.
That first year. You know, to see whether there's a huge influx in people putting it off, whether there's, we get a lot of complaints about it, people challenge, whatever that is. There's a couple of things going on here that gives me a little bit of hope, because we had a lot of people in this room at one time for another reason, and they all said, I mean, there was a pretty loud chorus of people. I said, if you guys need more money, raise the rates. Just raise the rates.
I was one of those people.
Yeah, so I mean, here we are.
We'll see if they're going to put their money where their mouths were.
I think the water is something I will pay for.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes.
We're not the problem.
No.
Yeah.
And it's not lost on me that there's economic hardship that's in play in some place in people's lives, and I get that. I mean, we have this with every fire district, every fire department has this with ambulance runs.
Yeah.
You know, so
we are going to have in work some sort of policy for people that are not indigent, but just really in tough ways. And once they meet a certain criteria, I think it's based on what the Barnstable uses, town of Barnstable. We're looking at possibly just waiving the overage fees and just have the base fee be the fee that be broken up in two separate payments.
Yeah.
Which would be relief and then...
Right, yeah, and you'll end up having, it's as long as you can engage someone in a conversation, you know, it's, you'll end up where you end up with,
yeah.
with someone.
Yeah.
But if I may summarize what I'm hearing, it sounds to me like you guys got it in hand. I mean, there's some hope and some worry,
yeah.
but, you know, generally speaking, it feels to me like there's nothing that the Policy Advisory Committee needs to go, hey, you need to change a policy.
Well, this is what I'll say about what we're doing right now. I have a little better awareness of the concern of how the money comes in, which I never really paid attention to before. I just, it's coming in,
yeah.
you know? And I've never heard any issues with it before. So now that I hear that, I'll try to see if I can learn something from Jen about how it goes. What's our normal pattern here? And if we could send out, now if we send out certified mail demand notices four times a year, that increases cost. I don't know, and we're trying to find out if it has to be certified mail. The only thing benefit about that is that you get a signature that they received it.
Yeah.
So whether we send out two certified letters a year and two non-certified letters a year, if it's, you know, every quarter, I don't know.
I would think that if, sorry, that it would make sense to, and it won't commence at the same, because you have to wait for the aging on these things. But as you get into a cadence of sending out mm-hmm. these
yeah.
dunning notices every quarter, I would think you do that by regular mail. I would always advocate, hey, do a certified thing, you know, once.
Yeah.
You know, it's at an event like, you know, it goes over a particular threshold of pain or,
yeah.
you know, you don't do that every quarter.
No.
It would seem to me like that's pretty kind of a special event.
Yeah.
But I think that's also, you know, basically a penny wise and pound foolish, you know, decision, because, you know, if you're going to get people to pay and, you know, paying the money, then if it has to be certified, it has to be certified. But I would find out what other, you know,
yeah.
water departments do and how they handle it. But
we're going to have to look into it deeper on this right here. I'm just talking off the top of my
yeah.
head. Like right here, we're talking about $3,000. If it is $3,700, at the end of the year, when it goes to lien, if we spend $12,000 sending out certified mail and end up in the same place as we are with right now, we've spent money we didn't spend before.
If you send out a certified letter and you don't hear from the person, then you already have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, because
they're sending another one isn't going to help.
No, so a rational person would say, hey, Jen, this is, you know, whatever, I got your letter and like I'm underwater or I'm something. You know, I mean, this is a small village. You said you had 2,200 clients.
2,300 bills, I think, something like that.
Right. And so a rational person would say, hey, look, I'm in trouble, guys. I just wanted to let you know that I got your letter and I'm following up. So once one certified letter is ignored, we already have a problem. My question is, who intercedes to look at the economic problem?
They would have to come to us and express, you know, listen, I'm having a problem. There is, I did find some guidance from a couple of the departments in
okay.
town of Barnstable of what they consider to be criteria
okay.
for someone that would qualify for some assistance.
Right.
And we'd have to make sure that applies here equally, you know, in a workable way, and then come up with a solution. I've expressed what I think a solution is, but I'm just one of three. I don't think it's out of the realm of being reasonable.
Well, you know, you could use the poverty level that they use for reimbursement by MassHealth, so that there
yeah.
are.
I don't want to reinvent a wheel that is used.
It
yeah.
exists.
Yeah.
So you already have
yeah.
the federal poverty level, and then now. In order to qualify for MassHealth, you could be under 300% of the poverty level, so that the MassHealth. So those figures exist of who is in fact indigent. And I wondered who in this district would get involved in that area. And, you know, like who handles it and...
That gets done somehow. I know that people that, in my family, they get fuel assistance.
Right.
They can get assistance through their tax bill.
Yeah.
You know, that's done through the town.
Done through the organizations.
You have all kinds of ways of escalating an issue to the town for all sorts of things.
Whether it's tax or water bill, all the oil companies have relationships with fuel assistance, and you just fill out the forms and say, I'm an indigent elderly person.
Council on Aging in different towns do the same thing. But for us, and what we're talking about your municipality, okay? And I want to try to be consistent with our municipality here.
I think what you do is that you include it on the bill, you know, that you have a program for people who are, you know, disabled, blind.
And it's going to be the minimal one or two water usage things. We're not going to have someone doing a million gallons a year, sprinkling their mansion there and claim they need assistance.
Yeah, but the rational person would call you as soon as they got one certified letter. They'd say, I better tell someone, do something.
Amy, I have come to believe that rational people, there's not as many of those around as I like to think they are.
They're as rare as hen's teeth.
No, I think that that's true, but the 27, you know, the 2,700 person, that's got to be a couple of years.
I don't know.
They would have gone to lien. They would have put a lien on the
people.
All
right, so it sounds to me like...
Also, if it was 3 years, they would have already had
What Don's saying is that the water department is working through, you know, clarifying this. I do think that there's going to be some experimentation.
Looking into it based on what Fran gave me.
All right. It seems to me like, for the most part, you guys do a great job getting everything.
But I think we do have some time this next year. Not that we want to wait till the last second.
Yeah.
So you feel free to call whoever is going to answer the phone when I'm gone.
Won't be you on the golf course.
Right.
I've talked to you a couple of times while I was on the golf course, too.
What's that noise? No, nothing, nothing.
Because like anything, the person could set up a payment clinic with us, really. I mean, we're a pretty informal kind of group here. They could say, hey, look, I got this $2,700 bill. I can't write you a check for $2,700, but could I, you know, pay you $300 for, you know, 9 months or whatever.
As long as you, I think the best policy advice anyone can give is more information, more education, and so forth, more clarity, and you're doing that, so.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Well, I guess we beat that to death.
Well, I mean, something's come out of it, though, at least in my point, my part, so.
Yeah.
I always learn something new.
So, are there any questions on the minutes?
Actually, there is. Adam made a comment when he came in about something about having fun with the minutes or enjoying the minutes. I thought, why weren't the meetings being recorded? And it would eliminate a he said, she said situation. And when I reviewed the minutes, I realized that they didn't really adhere to the open meeting requirements, the minutes, what needed to be, how they should be handled. And I didn't recall that the committee appointed a clerk at the last meeting, and I didn't recall if the chairman indicated that she would serve as clerk as well. And I guess basically what I'm saying is I find these minutes inappropriate in their form, and that I was clearly not to vote to approve them.
Just so you know, there's no open meeting law requirement to approve a clerk.
And that part isn't what I meant. I meant there are open meeting requirements in terms of what should be reflected in minutes.
No, there aren't.
Well,
There are any specific open meeting law requirements about what should be in the minutes?
There are suggestions, and I researched the suggestions.
So I read that, and it looked, sounded to me like it was a transcript of the...
Of the meeting.
Of the recording that was, that someone typed...
Like a word-for-word kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so...
Instead of a summary of issues discussed?
It seemed like it was, I mean, I didn't go to the meeting, but I almost felt like I was there when I read it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's, minutes are, is this what happened at the meeting? And for the most part, that meeting was a discussion. It was, it wasn't, there weren't, we didn't have motions.
No.
We didn't, it was, it wasn't like some, like a water commissioner's meeting or a prudential or a fire meeting where we have, it was a little more free form. That was my recollection. And, I mean, I read it and I said, oh, shit, I haven't done some of the stuff that I said that I might do. So I feel like, oh, this was a good reminder. So from that perspective, from my perspective, it was exactly like that. It was like, oh, this is exactly what happened at the meeting. So I had the exact opposite feeling that you did. This is nearly verbatim. I'd bet dollars to donuts that Jen just typed that based on listening to, that she paused the recording and typed some more and let it go, and that's what I believe happened.
So
I the minutes are fine with me.
Okay, all right. So that's a 2-to-1 vote that we'll accept the minutes. And now accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.